Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Brian Candello.
Good morning, church. Good to see you here this morning. Welcome to Salem Alliance Church and kickoff weekend. And for those of us that get to experience an online experience, so glad you could join us in that way. My name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here on staff, and it's great to be worshiping with you this morning. If you'll notice, we have a rose on the platform, and roses are just a way that we indicate new life in Christ. And so this past weekend, Roy nailed a ribbon in the cross. So would you celebrate that with me? Hey, before we jump into the word, let's pray. Jesus, thank you for your word. And thank you for these stories that are many times familiar and yet so deep and meaningful and impactful. And so I pray that we would encounter that this morning, that we would encounter you fresh and new this morning, that we would just become aware of your goodness and your greatness this morning. And Holy Spirit, that you would move in this space, in our minds, in our hearts. In your name, Jesus. Amen. I have lived and worked in Salem for over 18 years now. I started when I was 12. And in that time, I've learned that there are unwritten rules for being a good representation of the Pacific Northwest. Now, I'm not 100% sure of every stage along the journey. I'm not 100% sure of all that it takes to be a true representation, to be a true Pacific Northwesterner, but I know enough to know that I fall woefully short of the standard. And so if you will indulge me this morning, I would like to begin with a public confession of the ways that I'm failing. I feel like this is a safe space, so here we go. I don't drink coffee. I know. It's gonna get worse. I obviously do not have a beard or goatee. I do not brew my own kombucha or craft beer. I don't have a tattoo. I can't even put a bumper sticker on my car. There's no way I can put a tattoo on my body. I really don't like camping. I know. I don't drive a Subaru Outback or a RAV4. This is a big one. I don't know the difference between a Chinook and a sockeye salmon. I'm sorry. I don't know. And I own an umbrella. Yeah. I don't meet a single one of these metrics on this pathway. I'm not even sure why I'm still allowed to live here. And so, church family, this morning, I just wanted to thank you for giving me a home in spite of my shortcomings. Now, pathways and their stages are true in so many different areas of life. In education, there's a pathway, there's stages. In employment, oftentimes there are. In a relationship, there's a pathway and stages. If you want to become a Jedi, I think there's a pathway to do that as well. But that's just how it is. And in our walk with Jesus, there's a discipleship pathway. We've been invited to follow him. And so how do we respond to that calling? What do we do to engage along the way? And how do we move from one stage to the next? We're kicking off a new series in the month of September for kickoff called Discipleship Pathway. And really, it's a case study on the life of Peter. But we're going to look at this discipleship pathway. You see, as followers of Jesus, as disciples, we all have unique experiences, but we also have many similar experiences along the way. So we're going to explore this pathway and these stages that describe our common experience. Because we want to be conformed to the character of Christ. We want to be formed into a people of Christ-like love who continue to experience deeper communion with God. And our anchor verse for this series is amazing. It's from Colossians chapter 2, and it says, And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. As you accept Jesus, you continue to follow and depth continues to come into your life. And so in the coming weeks, we're going to talk about engagement. We're going to talk about movement. But this weekend, we're going to talk about awareness. We need to begin with awareness because our discipleship pathway begins with an awareness of who Jesus is and his invitation to follow him. Our own discipleship pathway begins with this awareness of who Jesus is and an awareness of his invitation. Before we get to the stages, before we get to engagement and movement, we need to see Jesus and we need to comprehend this invitation. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 5 this morning. We're going to start in verse 1. And this is the calling of the first disciples. It's probably a familiar story to many in the room, and it's specifically about the calling of Peter. And I want us to notice as we read this narrative how the focus moves from the crowds to an individual, to specifically to Peter. And the same is true with us. We read the story corporately in this space, but we need to remember that our call is uniquely individual. So Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish." "Master," Simon replied, "we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing, but if you say so, I'll let the nets down again." And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Amen. We're going to look at three things that Peter became aware of about Jesus and this invitation. If we want to understand that our discipleship journey begins that way, with this awareness of Jesus and his invitation, we want to see what Peter saw and became aware of and make sure that that's what we see and are aware of as well. And we know that Peter knew Jesus as master. You see, we see Jesus, he wraps up his teaching. And then he turns to Peter and he gives Peter some fishing advice. And in verse 5, Peter says, "Master, we worked hard all night. We didn't catch anything, but if you say so, we will do it." And master, and as he uses it in this context, it means one with some authority. It means teacher. It means boss. Jesus is already known. He's already done some miracles, enough to draw a large crowd that comes around him. And now he's turning to Peter and he's asking him to do something as it relates to fishing. And Peter is just spent. We have to get this in this story. Peter's just spent. He's been up all night fishing. Fish feed at night and they can't see the nets as well in the darkness of the water. But as Peter returns, his nets are empty. And so he's just frustrated and exhausted. And I don't know if you're like me and you every once in a while put yourself into one of the Bible stories. And I just think of myself in this moment, and this is where the sarcasm would have kicked in. Just a little bit. You know, when you're super tired and you're frustrated and you're exhausted and the filter's just gone, and I can picture myself looking at Jesus and being like, "Okay, boss, stay in your lane." I mean, I, the fisherman who does this for a living, We'll listen to you, the teacher carpenter who doesn't do this for a living. And you know, this is the beginning of Peter letting go of control. You see, at some point in our lives, our plan for us and God's plan for us will be in conflict. At some point in our lives, our plan for us and God's plan for us will be in conflict. And so what will we do in that moment? Now we see Peter and the guys here trusting Jesus and obeying Jesus, and they have the catch of a lifetime. And the next time that Peter addresses Jesus, he calls him Lord. He calls him Lord, and that means one with ultimate authority. And this is a new awareness for Peter. Jesus has gone from one who has some authority to one who has ultimate authority, from one that you listen to one that you give your whole life to. And may our awareness grow that Jesus isn't just teacher. He's the eternal, loving Lord of the universe. And he asks us to give our lives completely to him for his glory and for our good. And so we see this shift in the awareness of Peter from master to Lord. But his response to this miracle is go away from me. Leave me. I'm a sinner. His response to this miracle is to be withdrawn in this moment, similar to Moses at the burning bush or Isaiah in the temple. You know, when Peter sees Jesus in all of his holiness, he recognizes all of his own sinfulness. We don't know what Peter had done in his past, but we know in this moment he's feeling inadequate, he's feeling small, he's feeling less than. And we've probably all had experiences where we felt inadequate and small and less than. When I was beginning ministry, I went to the district office where I lived and set up a meeting to begin the process of ordination, the process of officially becoming a pastor. And so I show up at the district office and they bring me into this room and there's a conference table and like 8 to 10 pastors around it. And I'm sitting here at the head of the table. And in my brain, I'm thinking, this is a little bit bigger than I thought it was going to look. And I introduce myself and they immediately launch into a series of theological questions. Can you explain the hypostatic union to us? Can you tell us what book of the Bible mimics the structure of the entire Bible? Can you tell us the book of the Bible in the New Testament that speaks most of the second coming of Jesus and share your views on the second coming? And this just goes on and on and on. And my answers are starting to sound all the same. Can I look that? Do I have time to, can I take a, you know that moment when your body gets really warm? And you can just feel it just rising in you and you're like, sweat's just gonna burst out everywhere and this is gonna be so awkward. And after what seemed like forever, one of the pastors realized that I was in the wrong interview. That I was in the interview for someone who had completed the process and wasn't beginning the process. But in that moment, I felt so small and inadequate and alone, and all I could think of was get me out of here. Get me out of here. The same thing that Peter was thinking in this moment, get me out of here. Now, here's the thing. Peter made the right confession, but he came to the wrong conclusion. Peter made the right confession, but he came to the wrong conclusion. The right confession is, I have sinned, but the wrong conclusion is, go away. And how often do we do this in our own lives? I've messed up, I did something wrong, I'm not qualified. At times, those are the right confessions. But we always tend to come to the wrong conclusion. Go away from me, Jesus. I can't be near you. Nothing good can happen in my life anymore because of what it is that I've done. Peter told Jesus to depart from him because he was afraid that his unclean would somehow defile the clean of Jesus. That somehow our mess, my dirt, will sully Jesus' clean. But the clean of Jesus conquers all of our dirt, which is why he calls us close. You see, the calling has nothing to do with who we are and everything to do with who Jesus is. Our calling rests squarely on his shoulders and not our own. And so instead of separation, Jesus is drawing us close, and we need to make this move from withdrawn to with. Because Jesus sees the best in us. He sees our potential. He wants to heal our past and focus on our future. And the most important thing about us is not anything that we have done. It's what Jesus has done for us. The most important thing about us is what Jesus speaks over us, not what we speak over ourselves. And Jesus calls us beloved. And so may our awareness grow. May our awareness grow. May we see ourselves as Jesus sees us. And may we not be withdrawn because of what we've done, but may we be with because of one who heals what we have done, who restores us, who redeems us. That's the calling. That's the invitation. And we see the invitation in verses 10 and 11. Jesus says to Peter, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything, it says, and followed Jesus. Now, Peter and these guys had just hit the jackpot. They just had this financial windfall. And what Peter should have done in this moment was try and talk Jesus into being his business partner. That would have been the move in this moment. Think of the money they could have made, right? Peter, I can see Peter being like, "Listen, with my knowledge and nets and boats and your kind of innate fishing GPS, we could own this town." That would be the temporary way of thinking. You see, up until just a few moments ago, all Peter was focused on was catching fish, but Jesus shows up and he gives him a new purpose. He gives him a new pathway. He says, "From now on, we're going to focus on eternal things. I want you to see the eternal things," which is why they didn't cash in their winnings. They left everything and followed. And I just picture Jesus smiling and saying, "We're going to do so much more than this. We're going to do so many more important things than just catch fish. It's just going to get bigger and better." And I love that there's a beautiful continuity from Peter's past to Peter's future. Jesus takes who he is in that moment and he propels him forward. He takes the fisherman and makes him a fisher of men, from the temporary impact to an eternal impact. And Jesus wants to do the same with us, to just give us a new purpose and pathway and make us aware of these eternal things. Now, many of us will not have to leave our vocation to follow Jesus, but he wants us to use our vocations to bring his peace and presence and power to the world. He wants us to be farmers who plant seeds of the gospel, and parents who raise up a family of faith, and teachers who teach the principles of God, and financial planners who plan for eternity, and accountants who account for the works of grace, and content creators who create opportunity. And you see where I'm going with this. Your job fits into this. Your job fits into this. To bring the peace and presence and power of Jesus. And may our awareness grow that the material is good, but it's temporary. And may we focus on the eternal. Now, the same call that was given to Peter is given to us. Jesus, the Lord of all, the one with ultimate authority, calls us to walk with him with an eternal focus in mind. Jesus says, "Follow me and be my disciple." Now, many of us in the room have already made a decision to do that. We've already responded to this call, but we may not quite understand the pathway. We might not necessarily see the stages. Several years ago, I went hiking with Sean O'Connor and Brandon Miller, our beloved young adults and high school pastors. And it was a beautiful day in late May. We're in shorts and t-shirts, and we're going to Triangulation Peak. And so we drive over there, and we show up. It looks like this. Exactly. All snow and no path. And then we're like 30 steps in, and then we see this in the snow. It's just a bear print. And we're like, how bad could it be? So we keep going. We're all still here, right? Nothing bad happened in that moment. But what happened was we wandered around aimlessly, knowing that there was a destination, and yet never arriving at that destination. We never got anywhere. We walked and walked and thought we were on the way and didn't really know. It's because we couldn't see the path. And we don't want to do the same thing in our walk with Jesus. We don't want to just wander aimlessly because we can't see the path. And so we want to focus on a discipleship pathway, and we want to see some of the common stages. And here's a picture of what we're going to interact with in the coming weeks. And you can see that it's not necessarily linear. Don't think of this as like, oh, I just got to get one to the next to the next. It's not a contest. It's not about who's winning. Because you can see oftentimes we circle back again and again, and maybe some are at curious and searching. Peter was here at discovering and following and kind of all along to a life of communion and love. And maybe as you're reading through those, you see unsettled and questioning. And maybe that one jumps out at you. Maybe you've been following Jesus for a while, but it doesn't seem to be working, or your understanding of God is changing, and these feelings rise up in us of unsettled and questioning. And when they do, we oftentimes feel ashamed. We feel guilty. We feel like that's not really a stage on the path, that we've somehow wandered off of the path, but this is common experience. This is a stage in this journey, oftentimes to be expected. And it's good to look at that and understand that there are common experiences. There's a lot of things that happen in our walk that maybe nobody ever told us about. It's like when you turn 50 and you have to have readers and your back hurts all the time. Nobody ever told me. But it's a common experience. Well, there's common experiences in this discipleship pathway, and that's a good thing. And there's also common language, and I think that's important too, because I think we need to give words to sometimes the vague feelings we have to help us have better conversations. And as we look at that picture, we want to see that every step along the pathway is important, that it has purpose, and our awareness of this pathway allows us to persevere when things get difficult. And I also want us to understand that Jesus walks with us every step of this path. Now, when Jesus asked Peter to follow him, it was a significant invitation. And I'm not sure we necessarily see it that way. We've kind of gotten to read how more of the story plays out, and so we feel like that's a no-brainer. Jesus says follow. It's like, wow, that's a great thing. But Jesus is just at the beginning of his ministry in this moment. So what made Peter leave the catch of a lifetime and follow Jesus? Follow this rabbi that he was just beginning to know. And I think to better understand that, we need to better understand some of the educational system of the times. You see, education was not so much about information, but it was more about formation. It wasn't so much about learning something, it was more about becoming someone. So when kids in this cultural context were about 5 years old, they started what was called Beit Sefer. Literally, it means the house of the book. Think elementary school, but the Bible is your main textbook. And it's taught in your community by a family member or, you know, somebody that has experience doing this. And you spend a large portion of time memorizing things because it's an oral culture and not a written culture. Now, they do this for like 5 or 6 years. That's a good deal of their schooling. But eventually, most of the kids just kind of tap out, the education's done, and they go apprentice in the family business. But if you're a really good student, and show tremendous promise, you get to go to the next level, what's called Beit Midrash. It just means the house of learning. It was connected to a temple and was taught by a teacher or a scribe, and you'd spend the next bunch of years really diving into all of the scripture of the Old Testament, and the commands of God would begin to sink deep into who you are, and you would know the stories, and you would have large portions of the Old Testament memorized. Now, most people kind of fizzled out and didn't get to the end of that, but if you made it to the end of that, then you were like a top-tier student, and you had the amazing opportunity to apprentice under a rabbi. Now, rabbis were revered in the time. rabbis taught you how to live with God. It wasn't just about learning scriptures, it was about living with God. And so the best of these students got to follow a rabbi, and a rabbi would go from town to town with a small group of students with them, and they would learn and do, and this is such an amazing thing. So this was an honor. When Jesus said to Peter, come follow me, this was like something that he thought, oh wow, I will never get to experience this, and here's this rabbi saying that I can do this. And so it wasn't just that Peter believed in Jesus. It's that Jesus believed in Peter. And we always talk about, wow, we believe in God, but I want us to understand that God believes in us. He believes in us, and he calls us to follow. You see, when you followed a rabbi, there's three goals: be, become, and do. Be with the rabbi, with the rabbi. Become like the rabbi in what you say and what you do, and then do what the rabbi does. Go and make more disciples. That's what it meant then, and that's what it means now. A very significant honor to be asked along this journey. And that's why Peter left everything to follow. And so in closing, just a few things to lean into. The first I would say is just respond to the call for the first time. Maybe there's some in this room who have never responded to this invitation. Maybe you've seen Jesus as teacher, but not necessarily as Lord, or you felt like you've done something so awful that you've just withdrawn. But I want to remind you that the clean of Jesus is more than enough for our mess. And so today is the day to make the right confession and come to the right conclusion. Secondly, I would ask this. Have a conversation about where you are on this discipleship pathway. Now, you'll have the opportunity to get a booklet on your way out that will have that picture. But have this conversation, because this isn't really just a self-assessment. I think some of these things are best discerned in community. So this week, in your life group, with your friends, with your family, have this conversation. And what we want to do is we want to talk about where we actually are, not where we wish we were. We don't want to bump ourselves up a stage. We just want to talk about where we are, because with awareness may come celebration or frustration or grief. But it's great to begin this conversation. And our hope is that excitement will arise as more and more we talk about this pathway and its stages, and more we respond to this invitation and are conformed to the character of Christ. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this story. Thank you for the invitation that we get to read that you gave to Peter, and I thank you for the invitation that you still offer us. I pray that you would open our eyes to the significance of that invitation, to the beauty of that invitation. Jesus, that we would walk with you. And I pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment as we just try and figure out where we are. As we engage with this process, as we figure out movement in the coming weeks, I pray that you would just be with us in that. And that this would be something that draws us closer to your heart, that we become more and more like you. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.